true colors from The Desert Storm by Blue Sunshine, read by Sam Gabriel, based on the works of George Lucas. Chapter 1.
A mission? Obi-Wan repeats brightly. As in a real mission?
Ben shakes his head at his Padawan and reaches out to tug on the stub of his Padawan braid. Initiate training missions are still real missions, he chides lightly, though he privately agrees with Obi-Wan. The Council had assigned them to escort initiates to Ilum 3 times now, and without fail each group patented a special scowl, reserved only for Master Nasadeh's pleasant repetition of, again. He was beginning to get suspicious looks from the Creshmasters, tempered only by the fact that their clans were so busy demonizing Master Nasadeh that they reemerged from Ilum suddenly fonder of their own clan Creshmates. But yes, a real mission.
Spectacular,
Obi-Wan says precisely, and Ben wonders which of Shmi's friends had introduced the word. He'd heard Anakin and Obi-Wan parroting it back and forth to each other last night over dinner. We've been assigned to investigate missing cargo, Ben relays, eyeing his Padawan, whose mood surprisingly doesn't plummet at the revelation. Most Padawans hoped for something exciting right off the bat, and only by the time they were senior Padawans did they dream of simpler times. Then again, Obi-Wan was still somewhat petrified of stepping out of line, all too grateful that he was actually still here and not shipped off to Bandamir. Any mission was a good mission in his mind. Except, apparently, initiate training missions. Shangri-La has reported a consistent loss of medical shipments, and the depletion of supplies is beginning to strain their healthcare system. They suspect that this is not mere piracy, but a leak skimming off the top. They've asked the Jedi to discover where and by what means the shipments are being taken, and if possible, reacquire them, Ben says.
So, we're tracking cargo,
Obi-Wan supposes. We're tracking cargo, Ben nods. We're due to leave tomorrow, so be sure to pack and duly inform your instructors, Padawan.
I will,
Obi-Wan swears. But I need to run to the quartermasters first.
I had noticed you rifling through my half of the closet.
Ben lifts a brow.
You don't wear any of it,
Obi-Wan rolls his eyes.
I don't need my clothes refitted.
Ben, who recalls precisely how much he did not grow prior 16, doubts that claim, but doesn't dash his Padawan's hopes of getting taller. Far more likely, Ben suspects, is that his Padawan wants to be rid of his initiate whites, if only to reassure himself that he is a Padawan and he isn't going anywhere. Ben had taken far longer to get there in his youth. Ben gives Obi-Wan the afternoon off, in light of their imminent departure, and himself makes his way up to the crash. The initiate-level clans all eye him suspiciously, but the younglings and their crush masters in the nursery welcome him openly, and Ben happily spends a few hours playing push-pull with a few ambitious toddlers and rocking one fussy infant after another, basking in the sheer brilliance of their existence. When he returns, Shmi has come back, streaks of engine grease across her face and liquid coolant staining her skirts. She's also leaking happiness into the Force. Ben pauses for a moment, enjoying how bright her happiness makes her, suffusing the room. She'd been working with the mechanics for weeks before someone mentioned the fact that she was getting paid, and the chief mechanic on Deck Osk-9 showed her how to access the accounts that had been set up to her ident. She'd come back to their quarters, dropped Anakin in Ben's arms, walked into the kitchen, and promptly started crying. Not loudly, Shmi did nothing loudly, but tears streamed down her face that she quietly wiped away as she prepared tea with a Tatooine recipe. Ben had been dumbfounded, Anakin watching his mother quietly from his place in the Jedi's arms. When Shmi finished making her tea, she marched Ben into the living area, sat him down, placed a cup in his hand, sat beside him and said,
"This is Tsai. Drink it."
It had been spicy and milky and had a warm flavor that lingered, alike and yet unlike the special tea Beru started offering him around his second year on Tatooine, after he'd returned from one of his sporadic and ill-advised trips off-world. She'd screamed at him first, of course, certain he'd gone out into the wastes and finally let himself die when he disappeared without word or warning. But then she did as much as Shmi did, with the act of ritual, and sat him down and put a cup in his hands. She hadn't told him its name. She'd only told him to drink it in a tone that brooked no argument. Ben blinks quickly at the sudden ache he feels for the absence of Baru White's son in his life. There are so many people he misses so fiercely, and half of them he sees every day. Obi-Wan and I will be leaving tomorrow, Ben says, edging around her in the kitchenette so that he can turn the tea kettle on while she attempts to wipe motor oil off Anakin's hands and out of his hair. That's not coming clean, he adds helpfully, and received the flat look of a mother who was well aware of that already.
Will it be a long mission? She inquires, continuing to rub the stains off Anakin's hands.
Hard to say, Ben replies. We're attempting to track down a leak in a supply line.
What cargo? She inquires,
and Ben frowns at the fact that Anakin's hands are in fact coming clean. He tried to help Baru with Luke with that very same problem a few times, and never completely succeeded in getting the boy grease-free. How Baru had done it was beyond him. Medical supplies, spice mostly, but other supplies as well, Ben replies.
Shmi frowns. What sector?
Shangri-La. The supplies come from facilities in the Outer Rim. Thanium sector, I believe, Ben said, the detail itching at the back of his mind.
Pirates?
Inside Jom, I believe. Though they're definitely working with a larger organization given the sheer volume they're transporting, Ben replies, fetching Anakin a sugared slice of fruit from a jar on the counter. Shmi just sighs at the action, but doesn't scold him for it. Could be corporate espionage, or it could be a criminal syndicate. Could be an amateur with bigger plans than they have brains, we'll find out. Anakin reaches for the sugared fruit.
I was good. I helped Amma with the hydraulic propulsion. Fruit, please.
Ben glances at Shmi, who nods, and Ben passes over the treat, which Anakin immediately crams in his mouth.
Ankle.
Anakin, no one is going to take it away, Shmi tells him. Slow down and enjoy it, or it will be very unpleasant when you choke.
Promise?
Promise, she smiles,
brushing back blonde hair that has started to curl.
Spectacular,
Anakin grins, fetching the slice of sugared fruit from his cheek and getting damp, sticky sugar all over the hands his mother just wiped clean. Ben's first glimpse of his very self-satisfied Padawan had him hiding a smile. Obi-Wan had returned from the quartermaster with a new wardrobe in the same monochromatic style as the comforter they both preferred, and it made for a striking image. His red hair and blue-green eyes stood out all the more for the black, white, and gray tunics, whereas Ben's red-gold hair seemed less striking and more complimentary in his red and orange-toned tunics, for which he was grateful. His second look, however, had him flinching. The boy had brought a solid, black robe, and it struck too close to some of his nightmares to see the boy's face shrouded by the dark cowl. That he apparently hid quite poorly, as his Padawan disappeared shortly and the black robe never reappeared. The trip to Shangri-La was short, and neither of them bothered to unpack. In fact, they spent most of the trip meditating and working on Obi-Wan's mental defenses, which left his Padawan irritable by the time they arrived, nursing a headache. At Shangri-La, they spoke directly with the Director of Medical Logistics, Sam Tana, who gave them far more detailed reports as to what was missing, how long the supplies had been slipping out, in greater and greater increments, and what routes the different vessels took, yet all losing cargo with no obvious connection.
We have a reserve bulk order coming in an attempt to alleviate our shortfalls, Master Jedi. And Shangri-La will be very grateful if you and your Padawan would meet up with this vessel and provide escort,
Sam Tana pled his case.
It may assist or delay your investigation, but our need, I feel, is more immediate.
I can only agree with your assessment, and a larger shipment is more vulnerable to this sort of trafficking, Ben agrees. We'll need a very quick ship if we're to meet her, however. The Shangri-La government had been more than obliging, and Ben felt a great pang of longing for his first Padawan, who would have drooled at the sleek lines and heavy engines.
Want to bet how many parsecs I can shave off this journey? He could hear him crowing.
Padawan, please, no.
Ben shakes his head, dispelling nostalgia, and Obi-Wan looks up hopefully.
Can I pilot?
You, yes, Ben agrees, which puzzles the boy, though his puzzlement quickly fades beneath excitement and glee as he dashes for the cockpit. Trident Star, whatever there was to say about shipments getting suspiciously lighter mid-transport, was by no means a careless organization. The medical supply company housed several hundred refineries, laboratories, and raw pharmaceutical component stasis centers on what was possibly the most protected moon in the Thonium sector. And that was after one discounted the privately owned military blockade. Orbiting the moon were several docking stations and one massive hospital station. Approaching the blockade perimeter without authorization was a good way to get vaporized, and descent into the planet was unfeasible. As it was, even with a diplomatic pass, several fighters escorted their vessel to a private port, wherein Ben and Obi-Wan were quarantined and given complimentary vaccinations while their IDANTs and authorizations were processed.
If the source is this well protected, you'd think they could do better with the supply transports, Ben murmurs,
washed blue by the ultraviolet lights of their small quarantine bay.
Is it all the same company?
Obi-Wan inquires.
Some companies, some contract transport work.
Medical supplies have very specific storage and transport requirements, Ben explains. Trident Star provides all vessels to the exact specifications required by their products. If they subcontracted, they'd risk losing product in transit, and clients tend to disapprove of receiving spoiled medications.
So they provide transport, but who does the security?
Obi-Wan asks. Ben peers curiously at his Padawan, whose eyes and teeth gleam brightly under the blue lights.
Padawan, did you read the data pads I gave you?
Mostly.
Obi-Wan cringes.
There was a lot I didn't understand, and so I had to look it up, and I got distracted by Anakin and with the Quartermaster, and I sort of ran out of time.
Ah, yes, Ben remembers that phase, wherein he hid his every failing from Qui-Gon, praying it was never noticed rather than admit he couldn't keep up.
To be fair, Padawan, there is much I didn't understand, Ben says.
With time, you'll learn to sift through what you need to know and what you can look into after you've found those details necessary to your efforts in the mission, such as who provides transport versus who provides security.
Obi-Wan curls in on himself.
Yes, Master, I'm sorry.
You're learning, Ben sighs. His Padawan fidgets.
Who does provide the security?
Nova Guard. Not the most pleasant group to work with, Ben says, but effective.
Obi-Wan's brow furrows, thinking,
aren't they known for using neurotoxin-laced weaponry?
Yes, Ben replies. But they're also known, my young Padawan, for having a uniform that incorporates a face mask.
So you can't always tell who you're talking to, Obi-Wan says.
Precisely, Ben agrees. There are some who might find that convenient.
Like cargo-stealing thieves?
Like cargo-stealing thieves.